It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to worship from the waters of baptism. This is a great day at Greystone as we gather as the people of God to worship. And even as we worship on Promotion Sunday, Back to School Sunday, and we share in parent-child dedication later today, we begin our moments of worship with a celebration of baptism. I would like to welcome our candidate, Will Walker, to the baptistry. Will, as you come into the baptistry today, as we celebrate your baptism, you have a lot of friends and family here. I would like to ask all of Will's family and relatives to stand, please, in honor of his baptism. In just a few moments, after I share a brief word about baptism, we will baptize Will. And I've come to understand in my old age that one of the greatest sounds for a candidate to hear is the affirmation of his or her church family. And I would invite you this morning, as we bring Will up from the waters of baptism, to celebrate his baptism with an amen, praise the Lord, or a round of applause. Baptism is a visual symbol of the invisible vows that we make to God when we make our profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The waters of baptism do not have saving power, but they do provide a visual testimony, a picture of what it means to be reborn into the family of God. Several weeks ago, Will Walker came to share his profession of faith, but it wasn't just that moment that counted. He had been nurtured into faith by his wonderful family and for many years by this church family. And today it's our honor and privilege to celebrate his baptism. Will, what is your profession of faith?
Jesus Christ is Lord.
And Will, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the waters of baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. And Will, as a follower of Jesus, you are the salt of the earth. And you are also, according to the teachings of Jesus, the light of the world. Will Walker is a baptized follower of Jesus Christ. Go and light your world. These are the waters of baptism. What hinders you from being baptized? May we worship God together.
The family can remain standing. We're going to join them and stand as well, and you may pick up a hymnal on the way up. Will has celebrated the gospel story and the act of baptism. We want to join him in that celebration by offering our voice. Lift High the Cross, hymn number 450. Let's sing together. Sing it out.
Thank you. Good morning. I love seeing, I see some school t-shirts of schools that you go to, or schools that you want to go to. Yeah. You're starting kindergarten soon, aren't you? Yeah. And at school, how many of you have books in your classroom? Yeah? Yeah. When I saw my kids' rooms, there was lots of books in their classroom. Now, when I was a little girl, we had even more books. We had a spelling book and a social studies book and a science book and a reading book. We had a book for every subject, and that's how we learned. But I think you guys use a lot of worksheets now, right? And you go on the internet. But you can read books on your iPads and your Kindles, can't you? Yeah. There are books everywhere. Your school library is full of books. Our library here at church is full of books. There are so many books that we can read. And William, when you start kindergarten, you are going to learn how to read all by yourself. Did you know that? They're going to teach you to read all those words for yourself. So we want to give you a very special book. We want to give you a Bible because you're starting kindergarten. And this is going to be your very own Bible that you get to read. I know, it's heavy, right? It's so big because it has so many things in it. This Bible book is going to teach you all about how God loves you, and it's going to teach you about how Jesus walked on earth. It's going to teach you all the stories that Jesus told his followers, and you are going to learn all about those things. And we want you to bring your Bible to church with you every Sunday, okay? And I want to show you something special that's in yours. Look, I never had a Bible this cool, but look, in the back, there's maps that you can follow where people were in all the stories in your Bible. And there's a dictionary in your Bible, so if you find words that you don't know, there's a dictionary right there. And right there it is. That's most kids' favorite page of this Bible. Look, there's stickers. Okay? Do you know what those stickers are for? So that when you read the Bible, you can put that sticker right there that says, I looked it up. Or you can put that sticker that says, I read it. Or I memorized it. When you memorize scripture, or, hey, I really like that scripture. Or, I don't know, I don't think I really like that one as much.
And was that one?
That one says, I don't get it. I don't understand. I have more questions. And that one says, makes me feel, so you can write in the sides right here. You can write about how that story makes you feel.
That one
reminds me of.
Like, and that one?
Makes me want to. And that one says, makes me wonder. And that one's a spark spot, so that's just something you think is really awesome. Okay? And that's what you get to do with your Bible book. And this is our gift from our church to you, and we want you to read it and to learn from it. I want you to read it at home and read it at church. Okay? Yeah. And I think all of my other friends are here have Bibles too, right? Yeah. And they'll do the same thing. So you bring them to church and you read in your Sunday school class and you read at home. And a little bit later when we do a baby dedication, we're going to give them another Bible book. This one's a storybook, so that when we dedicate Holden, when his family dedicates him in the church, then Holden will get this Bible that's full of pictures and stories that his mommy and daddy and big brother can read to him, so that he can start hearing the stories of our Bible when he's really little. Okay? All right. Can y'all pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for your word. Help us to read it, to learn from it, and to live by it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Well, on this promotion Sunday, we also mark the transition that comes with moving from fifth grade into sixth grade and joining our youth group here at Greystone Baptist Church. And we mark that by presenting these sixth grade students with a Bible. I think it's wonderful that we present Bibles at so many of these different stages in their faith journey and in their growth, partly because it is a reminder that our faith is a growing, is a journey, and is a space that may change over time. One of the things I always remind our students is that my goal is for them to discover what it is that they believe, and for them to discover more about their own relationship with God. And hopefully they'll do that with these new Bibles by writing in the margins, by making notes, asking questions, all those different things. So I'm going to ask, as I call them name by name, for them to come forward and receive their new Bible. And after you receive it, if you'll just form a line standing here next to me until everyone has received their new Bible. So, Jamie Brookshire. Samuel Brown. Aiden Eshelman. Gabe Hopfer. Sarah Hunt. Joel Nwandu. And Jonathan Nwandu. And if you'll remain standing during our prayer, and then you can be seated. God, we're grateful for these students, for the ways that you are continuing to nurture your faith in them, and the ways that they are continuing to grow in their own faith in you. May you bless these words. May you continue to put them on their hearts as they study and grow closer together and closer to you. Amen.
As we consider teachers and students and professors and learners and disciples, the scripture offers to us a story. A religious scholar came and tried to test Jesus. Here is an insight into that exchange. Just then, a religion scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus. "Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life?" And Jesus answered, "What's written in God's law? How do you interpret it?" The scholar said, "That you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself." "Good answer," said Jesus. "Do it and you will live." Let us pray together. For all your gracious gifts, we give you thanks, loving God. We especially give you thanks for the gift of love. We have not been left alone. We are not asked to make our way on this planet all by ourselves. From the very first, others have loved us, cherished us, and touched our lives. For the love of parents and friends and family and partners, we give you thanks. Teach us to love. Enable us to better express ourselves with others, better to give to others, less willing to simply take from others. Teach us to look upon one another in love, not to try to force others into our image of how they should be, not willing to remake and require others to change and mold and shift for our comfort. Help us to see the gentle, loving, and lovable aspects of others. Help us to see that spark that you have given the Creator and the beloved child. Give us patience with the quirks and idiosyncrasies of others, forbearance with their weaknesses, all in the good hope that they will be patient and forbearing with ours. Above all, remind us that we love because you have loved us. Having been so totally, unconditionally, and committedly loved by you, we are better able to love one another. May others see in our attempts some measure of the love with which you have loved us, some spark of the love that is Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Christ's words to us in this next hymn are perhaps the language we need to give back to ourselves. Will you come and follow me? The whole hymn is a question to us, the different ways that we can follow God in this journey. Let's stand as we sing. That graphic is printed there that gives you words and music as we sing. Will you come and follow me?
Will you pray with me? O God, we are taught to give as an act of faithfulness and love for you. We are reminded that giving is a Christian responsibility. Like Paul taught the early Christians, we are taught to be careful how we live, to live as wise people, yet sometimes we are drawn by insufficient promises of our everyday culture. We end up giving with a begrudging attitude, a hesitant heart, or selfish reluctance. Forgive us. Enable us to give out of love as we give thanks to God and the Father for his unending love for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
Holy Scripture, one from the Old Testament collection of Proverbs, the Wisdom Literature, a second from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. From Proverbs 4, verses 10 through 13, "Hear, my child, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I've led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction and never let it go. Guard instruction, for she is your life." Now would you stand in honor of the reading of the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Gospel according to Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 28. "Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus, saying, 'Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?'
And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" The man answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You've given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." May God add understanding to the reading of this lesson. Thanks be to God. Thinking Christian is like a unicorn. It really doesn't exist except in its own mind. You can't be like Christ and have a closed mind, because Jesus was a teacher, a thinker, a kingdom-oriented strategist. Two passages of Scripture, one from that Old Testament book that encourages us to gain knowledge, embrace wisdom, hold fast to instruction, and exercise discernment. Then there's that New Testament gospel reading from Luke, so familiar to us from the book of Deuteronomy, about loving the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your strength. But in Luke's gospel, it adds all of your mind. And it is both the cognitive and emotive dimensions of our life that we use to honor, love, and serve God. Boy, it is great to be with you. I needed to be with you. This has been a tough and challenging and yet happy week. I've been funeralizing all week. which is never easy even when you're expecting it. We said goodbye to one of our 94-year-old saints who had been on our baptism committee for over 50 years, and boy, would she be proud for us to have celebrated baptism this morning. One of our 103-year-olds passed away on Thursday, and she was spry and even made a video that was on Facebook about 2 months ago. And she closed her eyes, went to sleep, and her son said, "Mother's with the Lord, finally." But then on Friday morning, one of our 43-year-old friends just had a birthday last week. I'd mailed his birthday card. Diabetic seizure in his sleep, didn't wake up, and I left Pensacola with a hole in my heart. I needed to be around loving, caring people like you. And boy, has it been great to celebrate baptism, to look forward to parent-child dedication, to read the faith stories that many of you sent by email. There was a stack on my desk when I got in early yesterday morning, and I won't call all your names, but I'd been praying for Karen Brewer, and there was her faith story on my desk. And I think after the events of this weekend, she could write a whole new chapter about faith and perseverance. And what a trooper she has been. And then to see you on Back to School Sunday wearing your school colors, most of you who remembered, and to see all the different schools represented and to know who you root for, where you went to school. One of our ladies in the early service, who was one of our, shall we say, very mature senior adults, had on a high school sweater from High Point High School, and she looked adorable. I just want to take her picture and send it home to my wife. And then I'm wearing my Alabama Crimson Tide shirt. It's the only one I own. Now, my team is Jacksonville State. I grew up cheering for Alabama, but I'm wearing it first in honor of my wife, who did her postgraduate work there toward her educational specialist degree, and because Ken Mitchell is here this morning. And some of you know that it was my privilege to be pastor to both the oldest Florida State player and the oldest Alabama player for a number of years, both in the same congregation. And then to know so many of Ken's friends, and Ken played guard on the 64 championship team. On the other side of the line was Jim Fuller, who was our head coach when I was in school. Jim went on to become offensive coordinator at Alabama, later returned to Jacksonville State to be athletic director. And so in honor of Ken, we say a big roll tide. And then not to be left out, one of our Greystone members, this just made my day, greeted me this morning and said, "I know you went to Jacksonville State. My wife and I brought you a Jacksonville State shirt." Now, you have to understand, Jacksonville State, like South Carolina, are the Gamecocks. And the mascot is Cocky. And so all the shirts the students wear have Cocky on them with the Jacksonville State logo on the side. And one of our Greystone members greeted me, so I have another Jacksonville State shirt. And I got to tell you, I, as a student and team chaplain, I was team chaplain there for 12 years and traveled with the team when they made the crossover from Division II to Division I AA. I didn't like the mascot. I wanted us to have some mascot like a panther or a tiger. I didn't want this overgrown chicken. What this family didn't know about this particular shirt that says Cocky, who's become one of my favorite mascots, is that I've shared with many of you and shared from the pulpit about our oldest great-nephew, Elisha, who's 14 this year, nonverbal autistic, and he's now saying 24 vocabulary words, one of which is Cocky. And the reason is the young lady who is now the mascot adorning the uniform is the daughter of his speech pathologist. And she puts on the Cocky uniform to come and visit Elisha. And if we take him to a Jacksonville State game, the mascot comes off the field among the 27,000 people and sits with us because Elisha learned to say Cocky as a nonverbal autistic student. That shirt means more than being an alumnus. Well, this morning, we're trying to mix together these two passages of Scripture. And as a kid growing up out in the country on Route 6, I was taught to learn the names of the 12 disciples, memorize the books of the Bible, and even as a kid in 8th and 9th grade, we had 300 or 400 passages memorized because of competitions for sword drills and Bible drills. And Miss Sue Harrelson, my primary teacher, before I graduated intermediates, for those who remember that nomenclature from yesteryear, taught us so many things about Scripture. What I didn't learn is that in addition to reading and understanding Scripture, I needed to read and understand the other disciplines of life. And being a Christian is an interdisciplinary journey. This is the only tongue-in-cheek story I'll tell, but there's a story, Ken, that's been going around Alabama. Joe may have heard it for years about the wealthy guy. And remember, this is a fictitious story. The wealthy guy had all kind of health problems. His doctor said, the only cure is for you just to get a new brain. And he said, well, how do I get one? He said, we have to buy one. He said, we've got one available for about $10,000. $10,000. It belonged to a college professor. $10,000. He said, well, I'll take it. He said, before you take that one, there's a second brain here available that it costs $100,000. What do you mean $100,000? Well, it costs $100,000. It belonged to a rocket scientist. He said, well, I'll take that one. He said, well, before you take that one, there's another brain here, but it cost $1 million, but it's the best of the bunch. What do you mean the best of the bunch? Well, it belonged to an Auburn graduate. He said, well, why in the world would that cost $1 million? He said, because it's never been used before. Well, somehow or the other, when I hear that story, I think they could have sold my brain in high school for a lot of money because I didn't use it a lot. I had a great memory. I made the honor roll. I finished high in my class. But I didn't know how to process information. I didn't appreciate learning. And I certainly didn't see the overflow of learning math, science, and humanities as being a part of my spiritual growth and spiritual discipline. This morning, I stand before you out of the wellspring of my own faith journey to say that I believe we honor God and we better embrace the gift of life by learning to serve God with both our hearts and our minds. And many of us have learned to serve God with our hearts, but our minds haven't actually gotten on board. Greystone, by the way, is a thinking church, and that's a great thing. Sometimes we can divide churches between cognitive churches and emotive churches, and this is an overgeneralization, and those historians among us can tell us that. But those who come up influenced by the Charleston tradition in Baptist life tend to be more thinking Christians. Those who grew up with the Sandy Creek tradition tend to be more spontaneous, emotive, and emotional Christians. And the problem with being just an emotional, emotive Christian is that we really serve God in passionate ignorance. But the problem of being a thinking Christian, unless we have a heart to go with it, is that we can develop a sense of arrogance and condescension that keeps us from being all God created us to be. I think that's the reason this passage in Luke talks about learning to love God with all of your heart and all of your mind. Actually, in the Message, in verse 27, I love the way it's worded, that you love the Lord your God with all of your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence. What a wonderful quadrilateral. To love the Lord with all of your passion and all of your prayer and all of your muscle and all of your intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you love yourself. Two texts about gaining wisdom and loving God with our minds. In our few brief moments together, let me share, maybe testimonially, five ways I'm learning that I need to love God better with my mind. And first of all, the challenge came a little late, but certainly early enough to begin practicing to love God with our minds by simply learning. God has given us the gift of learning and getting an education that continues throughout our lifetime and goes on long past we've received our terminal degree. That means on back-to-school Sunday for our kindergartners and preschoolers and middle schoolers and this wonderful troop of sixth graders who could be world changers, and all of us who are young adults and middle adults and senior adults, that doing our homework and doing our classwork and reading that book and enjoying the process of learning is a way that we honor God. No one ever told me as a student that excelling academically was one of the ways that I could love God with my mind. It's important that we make good grades, not just so we get the scholarship, but so that we honor God with this wonderful mental muscle that God has given us, that we probe the mysteries of the universe, that we honor God with our intellect, with our intuition, and with our imagination. In other words, we need to emphasize as followers of Jesus holistic learning. It's important to learn the Old and New Testament, but it's also important to know science and math and literature and philosophy and psychology. The God who put the moon and the stars in place is honored when we study the galaxies. The God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills is honored when we study biology and zoology and veterinary science and entomology. And the God who declares that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made has to be honored when we study anatomy and neurology and psychiatry. and pediatrics and obstetrics, and the list goes on. We love and honor God by learning. Second, we love and honor God with our minds by processing and applying what we learn. That our minds aren't just a reservoir to connect and collect information. My advisor at the university happened to be the Dean of Arts and Sciences, who was a wonderful Christ follower and later my neighbor when I moved to the Williams community. And he said to me, my sophomore year, education is more than collection of data. It is the ability to access and process information in order to apply it to life. That's certainly true in the way that we honor God, not just by collecting the information, but by being able to process it, being able to apply it, to put it where the grease meets the wheel of life. By the way, I think another term for learning in Scripture, by the way, is discipleship. Jesus was a master teacher, and those who studied under Jesus were studying under an expert teacher, and they were lifetime students, and they were called disciples. And it's a part of our discipleship to study Old and New Testament for sure, but it's also a part of our discipleship to study the galaxies and the universe and the intricacies of the human body and the intersections of human relationships. Dallas Willard, bless his soul, now with the Lord, who gave us The Divine Conspiracy, also gave us that wonderful book called The Great Omission, Reclaiming Jesus, essential teachings on discipleship. Willard said before he died that amidst all the world's problems, he said, I believe the greatest issue facing the world today with all of its heartbreaking needs is whether those who profess are identified as Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, learning from him how to live life in the kingdom so that they can move into every corner of existence. You see, loving God with our minds is so much more than believing or saying the right things. We love God in how we think. We love God with how we probe and how we explore. We love God in the way that we contemplate and reflect. We love God by the way we problem solve and do conflict management and troubleshooting. We love God by gleaning wisdom and insight. We love God in processing information. In other words, when we exercise our minds creatively, we are loving and honoring God. I can't help but remember as we were having the baptism this morning, all these wonderful baptism stories. I shared a couple with Will that were a little on the humorous side. But I didn't share with him that one Sunday we got to church and we had this huge family that had gathered. Many of them come from three states over for the baptism of their granddaughter. We had two other candidates to be baptized. And the maintenance guy, our version of Steve Rhodes, met me at the door and said, we got a problem. And I said, what is it? And he just shook his head and said, you need to see it for yourself. Well, the city of Pensacola decided to flush their water lines near the church that weekend after we left the office on Friday. He had filled the baptistry, leaving it running. And the baptistry had 2.5 feet of sludge and mud. And there's no way to baptize. I mean, I even tried to see, could we thin this out and make it a Mississippi River baptism like mud puppies or something? How could we do this? And so we had guys up in the baptistry during Sunday school with shovels that were shoveling out the mud. He said, there's no way we'll get water in time. I said, we've got to baptize. Either we're going to go to the beach after the service or we're going to get water in the baptistry. They said, if we can get the water out and start the baptistry running by 10 o'clock, we're still not going to get it full. And I said, let it run through church. And they said, won't the noise be overwhelming? And I said, let me think. I said, Lord, you know, what are we going to do? You know, so they turned the water on. It was pretty loud. But it sounded like one of the waterfalls that we heard in Yellowstone. So when I went out and did the welcome, I said, this morning, we're going to have a Yellowstone baptism. And you're going to hear the tranquil rushing waters all during the singing and the sermon, filling up that baptistry till in culmination, we will baptize Patricia in the name of the Father and Son and Holy. Well, it took a brain trust to make it happen. But we could either back away and say there's no way to overcome this, or we could put our minds to use and come up with a scenario where this would be a positive for the family. We honor God by processing and applying. Very quickly, number three, we love God by reflecting on things that are good and virtuous. That's exactly what Paul writes to the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 8. There are so many things we could think about, but he talks about focusing on what is good and lovely and pure and virtuous. And if you're like me, you don't do that by default. I grew up in the country, which means I grew up loving the outdoors. I grew up building forts in the woods. I grew up loving both bacon and bacon grease, cookies and cookie dough. And so I also grew up being an expert in worrying. My grandmother passed along the worrying gene to every one of the grandchildren, and I worry on steroids. And so if I'm left to my own devices and I start thinking pessimistically. I see the glass half empty rather than half full. And I think in the negative zone far too often. And even though I've been a follower of Jesus since the age of 14, I still fight that and still am overcoming it. And I have to go back to Philippians 4 and say, you know, during your time, think on what is good and virtuous and honorable and pure. Because the alternative is to sit around and think about what is hurtful and lustful and self-centered and destructive. We honor God by reflecting on things that are good and virtuous. Number four, we honor God with our minds by having our minds transformed. We were just there a few weeks ago, Romans chapter 12. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, your whole self unto God. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. There are only two options here. One, you think and use your mind in a way where you just blend in with the crowd, become like everyone else, and you conform to the norms and mores and values of the culture. Or you have your thinking perpetually and continuously challenged, your assumptions subverted, and you have to always be changing your mind to align your mind with the mind of Christ. That's four, isn't it? We honor God with our minds by learning. We love God with our minds by processing and applying. We love God with our minds by reflecting on what's good and virtuous. And we honor God with our minds by having our minds transformed. And finally, number five, we honor God as we take on the mind of Christ. I heard T.W. Hunt, Baptist's greatest teacher on this subject, speak on it years and years ago. I'm still grasping to understand it. What does it mean to take on the mind of Christ? Also in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. I'm not sure I'm there yet, but it means that if I'm going to live like Jesus lived, I have to think like Jesus thought. Which means I need to see the world through Jesus' lens and not self-centered lens. That I need to see the refugee as Jesus saw the refugee. I need to see the prodigal as Jesus saw the prodigal. That I need to view the least of these as Jesus saw the least of these. And when I think and see through the lens of Jesus, it's a different perspective that requires a different kind of action. When I see through the lens of Jesus, I can't sit on the sidelines as a spectator. When I see through the lens of Jesus, I can't see classes and races of people. When I see through the lens of Jesus, I can't pronounce myself judge and jury on the life of any other person. When I see through the lens of Jesus, I have to learn to see the economy like Jesus, to see God help each of us politics like Jesus. To see the potential of our church like Jesus sees our potential. We honor and love God with our minds when we take on the mind of Christ. I've only done it one time, and that's to upgrade the operating software on my computer. I've left it to experts to do that, but it took quite a bit of time to go from 2.0 to 10.0. And some of us are just doing the mild upgrade. We're at 10.0, ready to go to 10.1. But for some of us in our walk with Christ, you're a lot like my computer. We've neglected our growth for so long, it's really like upgrading from 2.0 to 10 point whatever. But it's one of the ways that we honor and we love God. This morning, know that in all the ways that we can honor and love God with our heart, with our strength, and by loving our neighbor, one of the primary ways we love God is with our minds. I said I grew up in the country. There were so many witticisms and slogans and bits of rural jargon that I've held on to. Most of it I don't use anymore. And without going down the litany of all those expressions, my grandmother had a wonderful saying that she used over and over again, and I just didn't get it. She would say, "If I had a mind to." You ever heard that? If I had a mind to, or I have a mind to. If you got in trouble, I've got a mind to break off a hickory switch and tan your... That's what she would say. We don't do that, and that's what she would say. I said a bad word one time. I wasn't even sure it was a bad word. She said, "I got a mind to wash your mouth out with a bar of soap," and she did. But she would say, just sitting around, "I've got a mind to bake a homemade coconut cake. Would you like one of those?" My grandfather said, "I've got a mind for us to go drop a hook down at 10-foot creek and go fishing." And they just said that over and over. "I've got a mind to." And I always wanted to respond, "You do. You do have a mind to. You got it. Use it." And I wonder sometimes if we said, "If I had a mind to serve the Lord." You do. You do. We do. Let's use it to love and honor God in all of our words and deeds. Eye that as Will was being baptized, many of you were going back to your baptism and remembering the day when you made your profession of faith, when you entered the waters of baptism and how it became such a memorable landmark moment for you. But if you're here this morning and you've never made that decision, one of our staff ministers would love to have a conversation with you. Also, as you think about your own faith, we would invite you this morning as we stand and sing these words, not only to remember your baptism, but to recommit yourselves, and for each of us to recommit ourselves with all of our giftedness to follow in the footsteps of Jesus in the week ahead. We're going to stand in a moment and sing our hymn of commitment, and as we stand and sing, if there's a decision about baptism, church membership, or something you would like to share, celebrate, I'll be here to receive you as we stand and sing these great words together. Let's stand and sing. Now it is as the glad and grateful people of God that we can say with full confidence, "May the peace of Christ be with you."
And also with you.
May we celebrate our faith and friendship with the passing of the peace.
Thank you. Morning. This morning we have the Burns family, and we have little Holden here, and Mom Morgan, and Dad Clint, and Big Brother Hudson. He's being shy. There he is. But they have come to dedicate Holden, and for us as a church to join with them in dedicating him.
First, a few words to our congregation, and then words of commission to this beautiful family. Grace on Holden will understand. He'll understand what it means to be a child of God, not just because his parents and immediate family teach him, but because you are partners with them in this great and important work. He needs to know what it means to be welcomed into the church. He needs to know what it means to be welcomed into the world and into the community, and how to be a responsible participant in it. As a part of his spiritual formation, Holden needs to know that you will welcome him and love him and care for him as he grows in his faith in Christ. Graced on this act of dedication is not only for the Burns family, but also for you. You're being asked to make a commitment and a promise this morning. So will you, as Greystone Baptist Church, teach Holden the lessons of the gospel and show him in word and deed what it means to be a follower of Jesus? If this is your intention and your hope, please respond by saying, "We will."
Amen.
And Morgan and Clint, what a beautiful family you have. But remember, Holden doesn't primarily belong to you, that he has been placed in your stewardship and care. He is a gift from God given to you for but a season of life. And as you're calling his parents to help him know what it means to be a child of God, will you keep him within the reach and influence of the church so that he will learn what it means to be a part, not just of your family, but to be a part of the family of God? Will you be caretakers of his life and raise him in the ways of faith so that he will learn to know the voice of God and be able to one day answer that voice in his own life? If this is your intention and your hope, would you respond by saying, "We will." Holden Thomas Burns is now welcomed into the loving care of this church in the good hope that hereafter he may never be ashamed to confess to that faith in Christ, which you as a family and community are challenged to cultivate and nurture from this day forward. May God bless us as we journey together in this beautiful bond of being family.
So, church, meet Holden. And Holden, meet your church. These are going to be your Sunday school teachers, and they're going to hold you in the nursery and rock you and sing "Jesus Loves Me" to you. They're going to teach you how to sing the songs of your faith. They're going to help you learn about missions and let you be a missionary too. These are going to be your friends. They're going to be in youth group with you, and they're going to be your leaders in the youth group. This is your church, your family, that's going to make sure that you know how much God loves you. And we're going to give you a Bible so that your family can read it with you and help you learn the stories of our faith. Our pastor is going to pray for you.
In these beautiful and tender moments, join me as we share a prayer of dedication for Holden. Our most gracious God, we thank you today for Holden, and especially for his safe arrival into the world. We also thank you that his parents, Morgan and Clint, have come to dedicate Holden and themselves to you. May Morgan and Clint always provide a home in love and grace, and mercy abound. Grant to them the parenting skills they need to bring Holden up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they seize opportunities and face challenges, especially during the season of his upbringing, surround them with friends who not only love them unconditionally, but a church family who will always embrace them. Now, as our church family looks forward to being a part of Holden's growth and development, we pray not only for Holden, but for his family, that the Spirit will guide their steps and guard their hearts and give them peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we dedicate this beautiful child. Amen and amen.
Yeah.
Just hear a round of applause for this family.
As you look forward to this week and go forward out of these doors, we want you to continue in the life of our church. You will notice many things in your worship guide. The soonest of them is our all teams and committees meeting this afternoon at 4. If you are part of a team or a committee, we hope to see you here at 4 o'clock in the fellowship hall. There are lots of things going on. Already your bulletin is full of save the dates for things in September and October. I hope that you will take note of all of those. There is an update from your pastor search team, so be sure to read that. And Will Walker, can you join us back up here, please?
And on behalf of the Grace Zone family, we present Will with his certificate of baptism, dated this August 26, 2018.
All right, so you're going to stay here and let them come shake your hand one more time? Okay, all right.
Do we have a band here? You want to greet them in just a moment after we're done singing? Let's all stand together. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. On that graphic there, that fifth stanza, let's sing these words together.
It has certainly been great to be together in the house of the Lord. Now, as the grateful and beloved people of God go from this place to serve God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and as we go, may we pause to love our neighbor as well as we love ourselves. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.